Fourth, when Hades was out of sight, Lexa started. Okay, first, not in the kitchen. Second, he's completely in love with you. Persephone's cheeks heated. Stop, Lexa. Girl, he worships you. Persephone ignored Lexa and started cleaning up. Once the cookies were done, she left them to cool, and the four settled in to watch the movie. Persephone cuddled next to Hades, and it was there, nestled against him, that she realized how weird her life had become since she met the god of the underworld. And yet, she had some of her happiest times with him. This was one. He was willing to try mortal things with her. He had wanted to do the things that made her happy and learn them. She giggled at the thought of him in the kitchen, mittens on, trying to retrieve the hot pan of cookies from the oven. Hades' arm tightened around her, and he whispered against her ear, I know what you're thinking. You can't possibly know. After what I put myself through this evening, I'm sure there are several things you are laughing at. It wasn't long before she fell asleep. At some point, Hades lifted her and carried her to her bedroom. Don't leave, she said sleepily when he lowered her onto the bed. I'm not. He kissed her forehead. Sleep. She woke to Hades' hot mouth on her skin, and she groaned, reaching for him. He kissed her urgently, like he hadn't tasted her in weeks, before trailing his lips along her jaw, her throat, her chest. Then his fingers found the hem of her shirt. She arched her back and helped him pull it over her head. Tossing it aside, he descended, caressing her breasts with his hands and his tongue. It wasn't long before she wiggled out of her pants and he parted her center, tasting her with his mouth. His thumb worked that sensitive bundle of nerves, sending her into delirious bliss. When he finished, he climbed up her body and kissed her before divesting himself of his clothes and fitting himself between her thighs. She spread her legs wide to accommodate him as his cock pressed against her entrance. He sank into her easily, and she arched with the pleasure of him filling her so full. She had never felt more complete. He leaned down to press his forehead against hers, breathing hard. You are beautiful, he said. You feel good, she said, hissing as she took in breath between her teeth, fighting the pressure building behind her eyes. The longer she experienced this euphoria, the less control she had. You feel like power. He moved slowly at first, and she savored every bit of him. But this god was starved, and his thoughtfulness soon gave way to something far more mindless and carnal. A fierce growl came from deep in his throat, and he leaned into her, kissing and biting her lips, her neck, pumping harder and harder, moving her entire body. Persephone clung to him, her heels dug into him, her nails raked his skin, her fingers twined into his hair. She reached for anything that would ground her to him, to this moment. Hades braced his hands against the top of her head to keep her from hitting the headboard as he drove into her. The whole bed shook, and the only sounds were their ragged breathing, their soft moans, their desperate attempts to feel more of each other. Her body was electric, fueled by his intoxicating heat, and he pushed her further and further until she could hold on no longer. Her final cry of ecstasy gave way to his, and she reveled in the sensation of him pulsing inside her. She would take all of him. Drain him. In the aftermath, they were quiet. Hades' slick body rested against hers, and he slowly came off his high, as if his consciousness was returning to his body. It was then he seemed to realize he had lost his mind, that he had pumped into her so hard they were crammed against the headboard. He studied her, and under his scrutiny, she realized she was crying.
Persephone.
A note of panic colored his voice.
Did I hurt you?
No, she whispered, covering her eyes. He hadn't hurt her, and she didn't know why she was crying. She took in a shaky breath. No, you didn't hurt me. After a moment, Hades pried her hand away from her eyes. She met his gaze as he brushed tears from her face, and she was relieved when he didn't ask any more questions. He moved to his side and tucked her against him, covering them both with the blankets. He kissed her hair and whispered,
"You are too perfect for me."
She felt like she had just fallen asleep when Hades sat up suddenly beside her. She felt cold immediately and rolled over, half asleep, to reach for him. "Come back to bed," she said.
"Get away from my daughter!"
Demeter's voice thundered throughout the room. That roused her immediately. She sat up, clutching her blanket to her chest. "Mother, get out!" Demeter's chilling gaze fell on Persephone, and she saw the promise of pain, of destruction in her eyes. She could see the headline now, "Olympian Gods Battle, Destroy New Athens."
"How dare you?"
Demeter's voice shook, and Persephone wasn't sure if she was talking to her or Hades. Maybe both. Persephone threw off the blankets and pulled on her nightshirt. Hades remained sitting in the bed.
"How long?"
Demeter asked.
"It's really none of your business, Mother," Persephone snapped.
Her mother's eyes darkened.
"You forget your place, daughter."
"And you forget my age. I am not a child."
"You are my child, and you have betrayed my trust."
Persephone knew what was about to happen. She could feel her mother's magic building in the air.
"No, Mother!"
Persephone looked frantically to Hades, and he looked back, tense but calm. It did nothing to ease her fear.
"You will no longer live this disgraceful mortal life."
Persephone closed her eyes, cringing as Demeter snapped her fingers. But instead of teleporting to the glass prison like she expected, nothing happened. Slowly, she opened her eyes and straightened, looking at her mother, whose eyes went wide. Then they narrowed on Persephone's gold cuff. The goddess struck, snatching her forearm. Gripping too hard, she pulled the bracelet from her wrist and revealed the darkness marking her creamy skin.
"What did you do?"
This time Demeter looked at Hades.
"Don't touch me!"
Persephone tried to wrench away, but Demeter's hold tightened, and Persephone cried out,
"Release her, Demeter."
Hades' voice was calm, but there was something deadly in his eyes. Persephone had seen that look before. Rage was building inside him.
"Don't you dare tell me what to do with my daughter!"
Hades snapped his fingers, and suddenly he was dressed in the same clothes from last night. He rose to his full height, and as he approached, Demeter released Persephone. She put distance between herself and her mother at once.
"Your daughter and I have a contract,"
Hades explained.
"She will stay until she fulfills it." "No."
Demeter's gaze focused on Persephone's wrist, and she got the sense her mother would do just about anything to take her from this place, including cutting her hand off.
"You will remove your mark. Remove it, Hades."
The god clearly wasn't fazed by Demeter's growing anger.
"The contract must be fulfilled, Demeter. The fates command it."
The goddess of harvest paled when she looked at Persephone.
"How could you?"
"How could I?" Persephone echoed sharply. "It's not like I wanted this to happen, Mother."
From the corner of her eye, she saw Hades flinch.
"Didn't you? I warned you about him."
Demeter pointed to Hades.
"I warned you to stay away from the gods.
And in doing so, you left me to this fate."
Demeter lifted her chin.
"So, you blame me? When all I did was try to protect you? Well, you will see the truth very soon, daughter."
The goddess extended her hand and stripped Persephone of the magic she had given. It felt like 1,000 tiny needles were pricking her skin at once, as the glamour she had crafted to hide her divine appearance was stripped away. The pain knocked the breath out of her, and she fell to the floor, gasping.
"When the contract is fulfilled, you will come home with me,"
Demeter said, and Persephone glared up at her.
"You will never return to this mortal life, and you will never see Hades again."
Then Demeter was gone. Hades scooped Persephone up from the floor and held her close when she burst into tears. All she could manage to say was,
I don't regret you. I didn't mean that I regretted you.
I know.
Hades kissed her tears away. There was a knock on the door, and they both looked up to find Lexa standing just inside the room, eyes wide.
What the fuck?
Persephone pulled away from Hades. Lexa, she said, I have something to tell you. Chapter 24, A Touch of Trickery. Lexa took the news that she'd been living with a goddess the last 4 years in strides. Her emotions ranged from feelings of betrayal to disbelief, which Persephone understood. Lexa valued truth, and she had just discovered that the person she called her best friend had been lying about a huge chunk of her identity.
Why did you keep it from me? Lexa asked.
It was an agreement I made with my mom, she said. Plus, I wanted to know what it was like to live a normal life.
I get that, Lexa said. Man, your mother is a bitch, she said,
and then hunkered down as if she expected lightning to strike her.
Will she kill me for saying that?
She's too angry with me and full of hatred for Hades to even think about you, Persephone replied. Lexa shook her head and just stared at her best friend. They sat in the living room together. It would have felt like any other day had she not been stripped of her mother's magic and exposed as a goddess. Luckily, Hades helped her call up a human glamour.
I can't believe you're the goddess of spring. What can you do?
Persephone flushed. Well, that's the thing. I'm just now learning my powers. Up until recently, I couldn't even feel my magic. I used to want to be like the other gods, she said. But when my powers never developed, I just wanted to be somewhere where I was good at something. Lexa placed her hand on Persephone's.
You are good at so many things, Persephone, especially at being a goddess.
She scoffed. How would you know? You just found out what I was.
I know, because you are kind and compassionate and you fight for your beliefs, but mostly you fight for people. That's what gods are supposed to do, and someone should remind them because a lot of them have forgotten.
She paused.
Maybe that's why you were born.
Persephone wiped tears from her eyes. I love you, Lex.
I love you too, Persephone.
Persephone had a hard time sleeping in the weeks following Demeter's threats. Her anxiety skyrocketed, and she felt even more trapped than before. If she didn't fulfill the terms of her contract with Hades, she would be stuck in the underworld forever. If she managed to create life, then she would become a prisoner in her mother's greenhouse. It was true she loved Hades, but she preferred to come and go from the underworld as she pleased. She wanted to continue living her mortal life, graduate, and start her career in journalism. When she'd said as much to Lexa, her best friend had responded, "Just talk to him. He's the god of the dead. Can't he help?" But Persephone knew talking would do no good. Hades had said over and over that the terms of the contract were not negotiable, even when facing Demeter. The choice was to fulfill the contract or not, freedom or not. And that reality was breaking her apart. Worse, she was using Hades' magic, and while there were a few advantages, it was like having him around all the time. He was a constant presence, a reminder of her predicament, of how she'd spiraled out of control and found herself in love with him. It was 2 weeks from graduation, and from the end of her contract with Hades. When Persephone arrived at the Acropolis for work, she noticed something was off. Valerie was already standing behind her desk when Persephone stepped off the elevator and stopped her to whisper before she headed to her desk. Persephone, there's a woman here to see you. She says she has a story on Hades. She almost groaned out loud. Did you vet her? Persephone had given Valerie a list of questions to ask anyone who called claiming they had a story about Hades. Some of the people who'd made calls or came in person to interview had only been curious mortals or undercover journalists trying to get a story. She seems legitimate, although I think she's lying about her name. Persephone tilted her head. Why? She shrugged. I don't know. It was the way she said it, like it was an afterthought. That didn't make Persephone feel too confident.
What name? Carol?
Weird. Then Valerie offered, if you want someone to go with you into the interview, I can.
No, Persephone said. That's okay. Thanks, though.
She put her things away, grabbed coffee, scrolled quickly through her emails on her phone as she entered the room.
So you have a story for me? She said, looking up.
A story? Oh no, Lady Persephone, I have a bargain. Persephone froze. She knew that bright blonde hair anywhere.
Aphrodite.
Persephone's breath left her. Why was the goddess of love here to see her?
What are you doing here?
I thought I would pay you a visit, seeing as you are close to the end of your contract with Hades.
Persephone covered her wrist unconsciously, though the mark was hidden by a bracelet.
How do you know about that?
Aphrodite smiled, but there was pity in her gaze.
I fear Hades has placed you in the middle of our bet.
Persephone felt a painful twist in her stomach, and Persephone swallowed something thick in her throat.
Bet? She echoed.
Aphrodite pursed her lips.
I see he has not told you.
You can drop the false concern, Aphrodite, and get to the point. The goddess's face changed, and she became more severe and more beautiful than before. When she'd seen Aphrodite at the gala, Persephone had sensed her loneliness and sadness, but now it was clear across her face. It shocked her that Aphrodite, the goddess of love, the goddess who had affairs with gods and mortals alike, was lonely.
My, my, Aphrodite said. You are awfully demanding. Perhaps that is why Hades likes you so much.
Persephone's fists clenched, and the goddess offered a small smile.
I challenged Hades to a game of cards. It was all for fun, but he lost. My wager was that he had to make someone fall in love with him within 6 months, she said.
It took a moment for what she said to sink in. Hades had a contract with Aphrodite. Make someone fall in love with him. Persephone swallowed hard.
I must admit, I was impressed with how quickly he zeroed in on you. Not an hour after I set my terms, he lured you into a contract, and I have been observing his progress ever since.
Persephone wanted to accuse the goddess of lying, but she knew every word Aphrodite had spoken was true. All this time, she'd been used. The weight of the truth settled on her, broke her, ruined her. She should have never suspected Hades was capable of change. The game was life for him, and he would do anything to win, even if it broke her heart.
I am sorry to hurt you, Aphrodite said. But I see now that I have truly lost.
Persephone glared at the goddess of love through watery eyes.
You do love him.
Why would you be sorry? Persephone asked through her teeth. This is what you wanted.
The goddess shook her head. Because, until today, I didn't believe in love.
Persephone had never wanted to choose between Demeter or Hades prisons. She'd wanted to find a way to be free.
But given the realization she'd been used, she made a choice.
After Aphrodite vanished from the interview room, she made a split decision. She would end the bargain with Hades once and for all, and deal with the consequences later. She gathered her things, let Dimitri know she needed to leave immediately, and took the bus to Nevernight. She appeared in the underworld, making her way across a field, heading toward a dark wall of mountains, intent on finding the Well of Reincarnation. She should have listened to Minthy. Gods, she never thought she'd be thinking that. She was so angry she couldn't think straight, and she was happy to feel this way now, because she knew when she calmed down, all she would feel was crushing sadness. She had given everything to Hades, her body, her heart, her dreams. She'd been so stupid. Charm, she rationalized. He must have charmed her. Her thoughts quickly spiraled out of control as she recalled memories from the last 6 months, each one bringing more pain than the last.
She couldn't understand why Hades had gone through so much trouble to orchestrate this plan. He'd fooled her. He'd fooled so many people.
What about Sybil?
The Oracle had told her their colors were intertwined, that she and Hades were meant to be together.
Perhaps she's just a really bad oracle.
Now, close to tears, she almost didn't hear the rustling of grass beside her. Persephone turned to see movement a short distance from her. Her heart stuttered out of control, and she stumbled back, tripping on something hidden in the grass. When she fell, whatever was in the grass charged toward her. Persephone closed her eyes and covered her face, only to feel a cold, wet nose press against her hand. She opened her eyes to find one of Hades' three dogs staring at her. She laughed and sat up, petting Cerberus on the head, his tongue rolling out of his mouth. With a glance, she found that what she'd tripped over had been his red ball. "Where are your brothers?" she asked, scratching behind his ear. And he responded by licking her face. Persephone pushed him away and got to her feet, scooping up the ball. "You want this?" Cerberus sat back on his haunches, but could barely stay still. "Fetch!" Persephone threw the ball. The hound took off, and she watched him for a few moments before continuing toward the base of the mountain. The closer she got, the ground beneath her feet became uneven, rocky, and bare. A short time later, Cerberus joined her again, ball in his mouth. He didn't drop it at her feet, but looked ahead at the mountains. "Can you lead me to the Well of Reincarnation?" Persephone asked. The dog looked at her, and then took off. She followed, up a steep incline and into the heart of the mountains. It was one thing to see these landforms from a distance, another to walk among them and beneath the halo of black swirling clouds. Lightning flashed and thunder shook the earth. She continued to follow Cerberus, fearful of losing sight of the dog, or worse, that he would be hurt. "Cerberus!" Persephone called as he disappeared around another turn in the maze. She wiped the back of her hand over her forehead, slick with sweat. It was warm in the mountains and growing hotter. Rounding the corner, she hesitated, noticing a small stream at her feet. But this stream was fire. Unease trickled down her spine. She heard Cerberus barking ahead and jumped over the rivulet, only to find the dog at the edge of a cliff where a river of raging flame roiled below. Its heat was almost unbearable, and Persephone suddenly realized where she'd wandered. Tartarus. This was the river Phlegethon. "Cerberus, find a way out," she commanded. The dog barked as if accepting her direction and raced toward a set of stairs carved into the mountains. They were sleek and steep and disappeared into the folds above. But they would take her higher into the mountains. "Cerberus!" The dog continued on, so she chased after him. The steps led to an open cavern above. Lanterns lined the passage, but barely illuminated her feet. The tunnel provided an escape from the heat of the Phlegethon. Perhaps Cerberus was leading her to the Well of Reincarnation, as she had requested. Just as she had that thought, she came to the end of the cavern, which led to a beautiful grotto full of lush vegetation and trees heavy with golden fruit. The pool at her feet held water that glittered like stars in an inky sky. "This must be the Well of Reincarnation," she thought. At the pool's center, there was a stone pillar with a gold goblet at the top. Persephone wasted no time as she waded through the water to reach the cup. But with the movement of water, there came a voice.
"Help," it rasped. "Water."
She froze and looked around, but saw nothing.
Hello? She called to the dark.
"The pillar," the voice said.
Persephone's heart raced as she came around the post to find a man chained to the other side of it. He was thin, literally skin stretched over bones, and his hair and beard were long, white, and matted. The manacles around his wrists were just short enough to prevent him from reaching the cup at the top of the pillar, or the low-hanging fruit just outside of reach. She inhaled sharply at the sight of him, and when the man looked at her, his pupils appeared to be swimming in blood.
Help, he said again. Water.
Oh my gods. Persephone climbed the pillar for the goblet, filled it with water from the pool, and helped the man drink. Careful, she warned, the faster he gulped. You'll be sick. She pulled the goblet away, and the man took a few breaths, chest heaving.
Thank you, he said.
Who are you? She asked, studying his face.
My name,
he took a breath,
is Tantalus.
And how long have you been here?
I do not remember.
Every word he spoke was slow and seemed to take all his energy.
I was cursed to be eternally deprived of nourishment.
She wondered what he had done to be assigned such a punishment.
I have begged daily for an audience with the lord of this realm, so that I might find peace in Asphodel, but he will not hear my pleas. I have learned from my time here. I am not the same man I was all those long years ago. I swear it.
She considered this, and despite what she'd learned about Hades today, she believed in the gods' powers. Hades knew the soul. If he felt this man had changed, he would grant him his wish to reside in Asphodel. Persephone took a step away from Tantalus, and his eyes seemed to ignite. His teeth clenched. There it is, she realized, the darkness that Hades saw.
You do not believe me, he said,
suddenly able to speak without pause. I'm afraid I don't know enough either way, Persephone said, trying to remain as neutral as possible. She had the unsettling feeling that this man's rage was to be feared. At her words, the strange, angry glint that had clouded his eyes disappeared, and he nodded.
You are wise.
I think I should go, Persephone said.
Wait, he called as she started to move. A bite from the fruit, please.
Persephone swallowed. Something told her not to do it, but she found herself plucking a plump golden fruit from the tree. She approached the man, stretching her arms in an effort to keep a good distance from him. Tantalus strained his neck to reach the fleshy fruit. That was when something hard plowed into Persephone's legs from under the water. She lost her footing and was submerged. Before she could break the surface, she felt the man's foot on her chest. Despite his suffering, he was strong and held her under the water while she writhed against him until she grew too weak to fight. The hold she had on her glamour slipped away, and she returned to her divine form. When she stopped struggling, Tantalus removed his foot. That's when Persephone moved. She pushed her way through the water, which felt more like swimming in tar. She fell, spraying water everywhere.
A goddess! She heard Tantalus croon. Come back, little goddess. I've been starved so long. I require a taste.
The grotto's bank was slick, and she struggled to climb it, scraping her knees on the jagged rock. She didn't notice the pain, desperate to get out of this place. When she made it to the dark exit, she slammed into a body, and hands clamped down on her shoulders. No, please.
Persephone.
Hades said, pushing her back only a step. She froze, meeting his gaze, and at the sight of him, she couldn't contain her relief. Hades! She threw her arms around him and sobbed. He was steady and strong and warm. One of his hands curled against her head and the other on her back.
Shh.
His lips pressed into her hair.
What are you doing here?
Then the man's horrible voice cut through the air.
Where are you, little bitch?
Hades went rigid and pulled her behind him, approaching the grotto's opening. When he snapped his fingers, the column turned so Tantalus faced them now. He didn't appear to be afraid of Hades' arrival. The god flung out his hand, and Tantalus' knees gave out, his arms pulled tight in his chains.
My goddess was kind to you.
Hades' voice was cold and resonant.
And this is how you repay her?
Tantalus started to heave, and the water Persephone had given him spilled from his mouth. Hades took deliberate steps toward the prisoner, parting the water, creating a dry path straight to the man. Tantalus struggled to find his footing to relieve the pain in his arms, taking deep, shaky breaths that rattled in his chest.
You deserve to feel as I have felt, desperate and starved and alone, Tantalus gritted out.
Hades watched Tantalus for a moment. Then, in a flash, he lifted the man, holding him by the neck. Tantalus' legs kicked back and forth, and Hades laughed at his struggle.
How do you know I haven't felt like that for centuries, mortal? He asked.
And as he spoke, his glamour melted away. Hades stood clothed in darkness.
You are an ignorant mortal. Before, I was merely your jailer, but now I shall be your punisher, and I think my judges were too merciful. I'll curse you with an unquenchable hunger and thirst. I'll even put you within reach of food and water, but everything you partake of will be fire in your throat.
With that, Hades dropped Tantalus. The chains yanked on his limbs, and he hit the stone hard. When he was able, he lifted his gaze to Hades and growled like an animal. Just as he started to lunge for the god, Hades snapped his fingers, and Tantalus was gone. In the quiet, he turned to Persephone, and she couldn't control her reaction. She took a step back, slipping on the slimy stone. Hades lunged forward and caught her, cradling her in his arms.
Persephone.
His voice was warm and low, a plea.
Please don't fear me. Not you.
She stared up at him, unable to look away. He was beautiful and fierce and powerful. And he had deceived her. Persephone couldn't hold in her tears. She broke. And when Hades' hold on her tightened, she buried her face in the crook of his neck. She wasn't aware of when they teleported, and she didn't look up to see where he'd taken her. She only knew that a fire was near. The heat did little to banish the cold raking her body, and when she didn't stop shivering, Hades took her to the baths. She let him undress her and cradle her against him as they entered the water, but she wouldn't look at him. He allowed the silence to go on for a while, until she imagined he couldn't handle it any longer.
You are unwell, he said. Did he hurt you?
She was quiet and kept her eyes closed, hoping that would keep her from crying.
Tell me,
he begged.
Please.
It was at the word please that she opened her watery eyes. I know about Aphrodite, Hades. His face changed at her words. She'd never seen him look so shocked or stricken. I'm no more than a game to you. He scowled.
I have never considered you a game, Persephone.
The contract—
This has nothing to do with the contract,
he all but snarled, releasing her. Persephone struggled to gain her footing in the water and shot back at him. This has everything to do with the contract. Gods, I was so stupid. I let myself think you were good, even with the possibility of being your prisoner.
Prisoner? You would think yourself a prisoner here? Have I treated you so poorly?
A kind jailer is still a jailer, Persephone snapped.
Hades' face darkened. If you considered me your warden, why did you fuck me?
It was you who foretold this. Her voice shook. And you were right. I did enjoy it. And now that it's done, we can move on.
Move on?
His voice took on a deadly edge.
Is that what you want?
We both know it's for the best.
I'm beginning to think you don't know anything,
he said.
I'm beginning to understand that you don't even think for yourself.
Those words pierced her like a blade to her sternum. How dare you?
How dare I what, Persephone? Call out your bullshit? You act so powerless, but you've never made a damn decision for yourself. Will you let your mother determine who you fuck now?
Shut up!
Tell me what you want.
He cornered her, pinning her against the edge of the pool. She looked away and ground her teeth so hard her jaw hurt.
Tell me.
Fuck you.
She snarled and jumped, twining her legs around his waist. She kissed him hard, their lips and teeth crashing together painfully, but neither of them stopped. Her fingers tangled into his hair, and she pulled hard, tipping his head back, kissing down his neck. In seconds, they found themselves outside the pool on the marble walkway, and Persephone pushed Hades onto his back and impaled herself on his shaft, taking him deep. The brutal movement of their bodies and breathing filled the baths. It was the most erotic thing she'd ever done, and as she moved, she felt a rush inside her, something separate from the heady pull of Hades' body. She couldn't place it, but it was awake in her veins and vibrating. Hades reached between them, squeezing her breasts and gripping her thighs, then rose into a sitting position, taking her nipples into his mouth. The sensation drew a guttural sound from Persephone, and she squeezed Hades to her, moving harder and faster.
Yes, Hades said between his teeth, and then commanded, use me. Harder. Faster.
It was the only command she ever wanted to obey. They came together, and in the aftermath, Persephone rose from Hades, grabbed her clothes, and left the baths. Hades followed after her, naked.
Persephone,
he called. She kept walking, pulling on her clothes as she went. Hades cursed and finally caught up with her, pulling her into a nearby room, his throne room. She turned on him, pushing him away angrily. He didn't move an inch, and instead caged her with his arms. I want to know why. Persephone could feel something burning in her veins. It ignited deep in her belly and rushed through her like venom when he didn't speak. Was I an easy target? Did you look at my soul and see someone who was desperate for love, for worship? Did you choose me because you knew I couldn't fulfill the terms of your bargain?
It wasn't like that.
He was too calm. Then tell me what it was, she seethed.
Yes, Aphrodite and I have a contract, but the bargain I struck with you had nothing to do with it.
She crossed her arms, prepared to reject that statement, when he added,
I offered you terms based on what I saw in your soul. A woman caged by her own mind.
Persephone glared at him.
You are the one who called the contract impossible, he said. But you are powerful, Persephone.
Do not mock me. Her voice shook.
I would never.
The sincerity in his voice made her sick. Liar. His eyes darkened.
I am many things, but a liar I am not.
Not a liar, then, but a self-admitted deceiver.
I have only ever given you answers, he said. I have helped you reclaim your power, and yet you haven't used it. I have given you a way to walk out from underneath your mother, and yet you will not claim it.
How? She demanded. What did you do to help me?
I worshipped you, he yelled. I gave you what your mother withheld. Worshippers!
Persephone stood for a moment in stunned silence. You mean to tell me you forced me into a contract when you could have just told me I needed worshippers to gain my powers?
It's not about powers, Persephone. It's never been about magic or illusion or glamour. It's about confidence. It's about believing in yourself.
That's twisted, Hades.
Is it?
He snapped.
Tell me, if you'd known, what would you have done? Announced your divinity to the whole world so that you might gain a following and consequently your power?
She knew the answer, and so did he.
No, you've never been able to decide what you want because you value your mother's happiness over your own.
I had freedom until you, Hades.
You thought you were free before me?
He asked.
You just traded glass walls for another kind of prison when you came to New Athens.
Why don't you keep telling me how pathetic I am? She spat.
That's not what I...
Isn't it? She cut him off. Let me tell you what else makes me pathetic. I fell for you. Tears stung her eyes. Hades moved to touch her, but she held out her hand. Don't! He halted, looking far more pained than she could have ever imagined. She took a moment. waiting to speak until she was sure her voice was even. What would Aphrodite have gotten if you had failed? Hades swallowed and answered in a low, rough voice.
She asked that one of her heroes be returned to the living.
Persephone pressed her lips together and nodded. She should have known. Well, you won. I love you. Was it worth it?
It wasn't like that, Persephone.
She turned from him, and he called out.
You would believe Aphrodite's words over my actions?
She paused at that and turned to face him. She was so angry her body vibrated. If he was trying to tell her he loved her, he needed to say it. She needed to hear the words. Instead, he shook his head and said,
You are your own prisoner.
Something within her snapped. It was painful and moved through her veins like fire. Beneath their feet, the marble rattled. Their eyes met just as great black vines erupted from the floor, twisting around the god of the dead until his wrists and ankles were restrained. For a moment, they were both frozen, stunned. She had created life. Though what rose from the floor looked far from alive, it was withered and black, not bright and beautiful. Persephone breathed heavily. Unlike before, the magic she now felt was strong. It made her body throb with a dull pain. Hades regarded his bound wrists, testing the restraints. When he looked at Persephone, he offered a humorless chuckle, his eyes a dull, lifeless black.
Well, Lady Persephone, it looks like you won.
Chapter 25, A Touch of Life. Persephone didn't remove the gold cuff until she was in her own shower. She stood under a hot stream of water until it ran ice cold, then slid to the floor of the tub. When she pulled off the bracelet, the mark was gone. She'd always envisioned this moment differently. In truth, she'd imagined gaining her powers and Hades. She'd imagined having the best of both worlds. Instead, she had neither. She knew it was just a matter of time before her mother came to collect her. A sob caught in her throat, but she held it back and dragged herself out of the bathroom. She was her own prisoner. Hades was right, and the weight of his words crashed down on her in the night, eliciting a renewed stream of tears. At some point, she didn't know when, Lexa climbed into bed with her, drew her into her arms, and held her. That was how Persephone fell asleep. When she woke the next morning, Lexa was awake and watching her. Her best friend brushed her hair out of her face and asked, Are you okay? Yes, she said quietly.
Is it over?
Persephone nodded and forced the tears away. She was tired of crying. Her eyes were swollen and she couldn't breathe out of her nose. I'm sorry, Persephone, Lexa said, and bent down to hug her close. She shrugged. She was afraid to say anything, afraid she would cry again. Despite this, she felt different. She had a renewed determination to take control of her life. As if on cue, her phone vibrated, and when she looked down, she found a message from Adonis.
Tick-tock.
She'd forgotten his deadline. She was supposed to have his job reinstated by tomorrow. Knowing that was impossible, Persephone had no other options. If only she could get those photos, he'd have nothing to blackmail her with. Lexa, Persephone said, isn't Jason a programmer?
Yeah, why?
I have a job for him. Persephone waited in the Garden of the Gods on campus. She'd chosen Hades' garden, mostly because it offered more privacy from prying eyes and eavesdroppers. She'd spent the morning telling Lexa everything that had happened with Adonis, and asked Jason if he could hack into the mortal's computer and delete the photos he was using for blackmail. The amount of joy he'd gotten from the request was comical. During the hack, he'd uncovered a wealth of information, including Adonis's informant. Persephone's phone buzzed, and as she checked it, she saw Adonis had texted.
Here.
When she looked up, she spotted Minthy and Adonis approaching from opposite directions. Minthy glaring, Adonis wide-eyed. They came to a stop a few feet from her.
What is he doing here?
Minthy snapped.
What's she doing here?
Adonis asked.
It's so I won't have to repeat myself, Persephone said. I know Minthy took the photos you're blackmailing me with.
Her phone buzzed, and she checked it before adding, or rather I should say, were blackmailing me with. As of this second, your devices have been hacked and the photos removed.
Adonis paled, and Minthy's glare deepened.
You can't do that. It's illegal,
Adonis argued.
Illegal like blackmail?
That shut him up. Persephone turned her attention to Minthy.
I suppose you'll run and tell on me, the nymph asked.
Why would I do that? Persephone's question was genuine, but Minthy just seemed irritated, pressing her lips together and snarling.
Let's not play act, goddess. Revenge, of course. I'm surprised you didn't tell Hades I was the one who sent you into Tartarus. Did she just call you goddess?
Adonis jumped in, but a glare from Minthy and Persephone had him silent again.
I prefer to fight my own battles, Persephone said.
With what? Your words?
Minthy offered a sarcastic laugh.
I understand that you're jealous of me, Persephone said. But your anger is misplaced. If anything, she should be angry with Hades, or maybe angry with herself for wasting time pining after a man who didn't love her.
You understand nothing, Minthy seethed. All these years I stood beside him, only to wither in your shadow as he flaunted you to his whole kingdom like you were already his queen.
Minthy was right. She didn't understand. She couldn't imagine what it would feel like to dedicate your life, your love, to a person who never returned it. Then Minthy added in a shaky voice,
You were supposed to fall in love with him, not the other way around.
Persephone flinched. So Minthy had been aware of the terms of the bargain. She wondered if Hades had told her or if she'd been present when Aphrodite had set her terms. It made her embarrassed to think that Minthy had watched her fall in love with Hades, knowing his deception.
Hades doesn't love me, Persephone said.
Stupid girl,
Minthy shook her head.
If you cannot see it, then maybe you aren't worthy of him.
Anger ignited in her veins, and her fingers curled into fists.
Hades betrayed me,
Persephone's voice shook. Minthy snorted.
How? Because he chose not to tell you about his contract with Aphrodite. Given that you wrote a derisive article about him within a few days of meeting him, I'm not at all surprised he didn't confide in you. He was probably afraid that if you found out, you would act like the child you are.
Minthy was treading on thin ice.
You should have been more thankful for your time in our world, she added. It's the most powerful you will ever be.
It was at that moment Persephone knew how it felt to be truly wicked. A smile curled her lips, and Minthy suddenly sobered as if she sensed something had changed.
No,
Persephone said, and with a flick of her wrist, a vine shot out from the ground and curled around Minthy's feet. As the nymph started to scream, another vine closed over her mouth, silencing her.
This is the most powerful I will ever be.
She snapped her fingers, and Minthy shrunk and morphed until she was nothing more than a lush mint plant. Adonis's eyes went wide with disbelief.
Oh my gods, you...
Persephone approached the plant and plucked it from the ground. Then she turned and kneed Adonis in the groin. The mortal collapsed, writhing on the ground, clutching himself and moaning. Persephone watched him a moment. Content to see him suffer.
If you ever threaten me again, I will curse you, she said, a deadly calm overtaking her voice.
He spoke between breaths.
You can't have Aphrodite's favor.
Persephone smirked and tilted her head to the side. It wasn't until a slender vine reached around to caress his face that Adonis started to scream. Persephone had turned his arms into literal limbs, and they were quickly growing foliage. His pain forgotten, he shrieked, "Turn me back! Turn me back!" When he saw she was not moved by his demands, he turned to pleading.
"Please."
Tears spilled from his eyes.
"Please, I'll do anything, anything."
"Anything?" Persephone echoed.
"Yes, just turn me back."
"A favor," Persephone bargained, "to be collected at a future time."
"Whatever you want, do it now."
But Persephone didn't. And when Adonis realized she was making no move to reinstate his arms, he grew quiet. "Do you know what a corpse lily is, Adonis?" He glared at her and didn't speak. "Don't make me repeat myself, mortal." She dropped her glamour and took a threatening step forward. "Yes or no?" Adonis's eyes widened and he wiggled away, whimpering.
"No."
"Pity. It is a parasitic flower that smells like decaying flesh. I'm sure you're wondering what this has to do with you. Well, it's a wager. If you touch any woman without consent, I will turn you into one." Adonis went pale, but managed to glare at her.
"A wager usually implies I get something in return."
She shook her head at his stupidity. "You do." She leaned close. "Your life." For emphasis, she held Minthy, the newly transformed mint plant, aloft, examining its green leaves. "She'll make a fine addition to my garden." She snapped her fingers, and Adonis's arms were restored. He floundered for a moment during the transition, but once he was on his feet again, she turned on her heels and walked away.
"Who the fuck are you?"
he called after her. Persephone paused, then turned to look at Adonis over her shoulder. "I am Persephone, goddess of spring," she answered, and disappeared. Her mother's greenhouse was just as she remembered, an ornate metal structure covered in glass, nestled in the rich woods of Olympia. It was two stories, the ceiling was rounded, and at this moment, the sun shone in a way that made the whole thing look like gold. It was a shame she hated being here, because it was breathtaking. Inside, it smelled like her mother, sweet and bitter, like a bouquet of wildflowers. The scent made her heart ache. There was a part of her that missed her mother and mourned how their relationship had changed. She had never wanted to be a disappointment, but more than that, she didn't want to be a prisoner. Persephone spent time walking the paths, passing colorful beds of lilies and violets, roses and orchids, and a variety of trees with plump fruit. The flutter of life was all around her. The feeling was growing stronger and more familiar. She stopped along the path, recalling all the dreams she'd had when trapped behind these walls. Dreams of sparkling cities and exciting adventures and passionate love. She'd found all of that, and it had been beautiful and wicked and heartbreaking. And she'd do it all again, just to taste, to feel, to live again. "Corey." Persephone cringed, as she always did when her mother used her childhood name. She turned and found Demeter standing a few feet away, her face cold and unreadable. "Mother?" Persephone nodded. "I have been looking for you," said Demeter, and her eyes fell to Persephone's wrist. "But I see you have come to your senses and returned to me of your own volition."
"Actually, Mother, I came to say that I know what you did."
Her mother's expression remained distant.
"I don't know what you mean."
"I know you kept me hidden here to prevent my powers from manifesting," she said.
Demeter lifted her head a fraction.
"It was for your own good. I only ever did what I thought was best."
"What you thought was best," Persephone repeated. "Didn't you ever consider how I might feel?"
"If you had just listened to me, none of this would have happened. You didn't know any different until you left. That's when you changed."
She said it like it was a horrible thing, like she resented who Persephone had become. And maybe that was true.
You're wrong, Persephone argued. I wanted adventure. I wanted to live outside these walls. You knew that. I begged you.
Demeter looked away.
You never gave me a choice.
I couldn't, she snapped, and then took a deep breath. I suppose it didn't matter in the end. It all happened as the fates had predicted.
What?
Her mother glared.
When you were born, I went to the fates and asked of your future. A goddess had not been born in ages, and I worried for you. They told me you were destined to be a queen of darkness, the bride of death, Hades' wife. I could not let that happen. I did the only thing I could do, kept you hidden and safe.
No, not safe, Persephone said. You did it so I would always need you, so you would never have to be alone.
The two stared at each other for a moment, before Persephone added, I know you do not believe in love, Mother, but you had no right to keep me from mine. Demeter blinked in shock.
Love? You can't love Hades.
She wished she didn't, then she wouldn't feel this aching in her chest.
See, that's the problem with you trying to control my life.
You're wrong. You've always been wrong. I know I'm not the daughter you wanted, but I am the daughter you have. And if you want to be in my life, you will let me live it. Demeter glared.
So, this is it? You have come to tell me you've chosen Hades over me?
No. I came to tell you that I forgive you for everything. Demeter's expression was one of contempt.
You forgive me? It is you who should be begging for my forgiveness. I did everything for you.
I don't need your forgiveness to live an unburdened life, and I most certainly will not beg for it. Persephone waited. She wasn't sure what she expected her mother to say. Maybe that she loved her, that she wanted a relationship with her, and they would figure out this new normal. But she said nothing, and Persephone's shoulder fell. She was emotionally exhausted. What she wanted now, more than anything, was to be surrounded by people who loved her for who she was. She was tired of fighting.
Whenever you're ready to reconcile, let me know.
Persephone snapped her fingers, intent on teleporting from the greenhouse, except that she remained where she was, trapped. Demeter's face darkened with a devious smile.
I am sorry, my flower, but I cannot allow you to leave. Not when I have just managed to reclaim you once again.
I asked you to let me live. Persephone's voice shook.
And you will. Here, where you belong.
No.
Persephone's fists curled.
In time you will understand. This moment will be forgotten in the vastness of your lifetime.
Lifetime. The word made Persephone breathless. She couldn't imagine a lifetime locked in this place. A lifetime without adventure, without love, without passion. She wouldn't.
Things will be as they were before, Demeter added.
But things could never be as they were before, and Persephone knew it. She had a taste, a touch of darkness, and she would crave it the rest of her life. When Persephone began to shake, so did the ground, and Demeter frowned.
What is the meaning of this, Cory?
It was time for Persephone to smile.
Oh, Mother, you don't understand. But everything has changed.
And out of the ground shot thick black stalks, rising until they shattered the glass of the greenhouse above, effectively breaking the spell Demeter had placed upon the prison. From the stalks, silver vines twisted, filling the space, breaking the structure, flattening flowers, and destroying trees.
What are you doing?
Demeter screamed over the sounds of bending metal and breaking glass.
Freeing myself, Persephone replied, and vanished.
Chapter 26, A Touch of Home. Graduation came and went in a flurry of black robes, blue and white tassels, and parties. It was a bittersweet end, and Persephone had never felt prouder as she walked across that stage, or more alone. Lexa had been spending more time with Jason. She hadn't heard from her mother since she destroyed the greenhouse, and she hadn't returned to Never Night or the Underworld since she'd left Hades tangled in her vines. Her only distraction was work. Persephone had started full-time at New Athens News as an investigative journalist the week after graduation. She arrived early and stayed late, and when she had nothing left to do, she spent the evening deep in the Garden of the Gods practicing her magic. She was getting better, and while the instinct to reach for her power was stronger, she hadn't managed to reclaim the abilities she'd had when she'd transformed Minthy into a plant, Adonis limbs into vines, and destroyed her mother's home. The things she grew now had returned to resembling dead vines. She found herself wishing she could train with Hecate. She missed Hecate, the souls, the underworld. She missed Hades. Now and then she considered returning to the underworld to visit. She knew Hades hadn't revoked her favor, but she was too afraid, too embarrassed, and too ashamed to go. How was she supposed to explain her absence? And would they forgive her? As more days passed, the less Persephone felt she could return, and so she continued her daily routine. Work, lunch with Lexa and Sybil, and an evening walk through the park. Today, that routine was disrupted. She checked her watch as she sat at her usual table at the coffee house. She was waiting for a text from Lexa. It was her birthday weekend, and they were going out tonight to celebrate with Jason, Sybil, Arrow, and Ceres. And while Persephone was excited for the distraction, she had needed to finish her final article on the God of the Dead. Writing the article had been more painful than she expected. She'd written through tears and clenched teeth. As a result, the publication was delayed. She hadn't expected to be so emotional, but she guessed she'd gone through a lot in the last 6 months. The worry and stress over fulfilling the terms of her contract with Hades had taken a toll in so many ways. Against her better judgment, she had fallen for the god, and she had slowly been trying to figure out how to put the pieces of her heart back together. The problem was, it didn't fit together the same way. She was changed, and it was both beautiful and terrible. She had taken control of her life, severing relationships as she went. The people she trusted 6 months ago were not the people she trusted now. The most painful part of it all was her mother's betrayal and subsequent silence. After she'd destroyed the greenhouse, Demeter had kept her distance. Persephone wasn't even sure where her mother had gone, though she suspected she was in Olympia. Still, she had expected something from her, even an angry text. Nothing was a stab in the heart. Her phone beeped with a message from Lexa. "Ready for tonight?" She texted back. "You know it. Have you made a decision?" She hadn't decided where to celebrate yet. They'd both agreed Never Night and La Rose were out of the question. "I'm thinking Bacchia or the Raven." Bacchia was a bar owned by Dionysus, and the Raven was owned by Apollo. "What do you think?" "Definitely the Raven." "But you hate Apollo's music." It was true. Persephone dreaded every album the God of Light released. She wasn't sure why. Something about the way he pronounced his words irritated her, and it was the only music that played at his club. "But it's your birthday," Persephone reminded her, "and the Raven is more your style." "It's settled. The Raven it is. Thanks, Persephone." Despite seeing less of Lexa, Persephone was happy for her. Lexa was thriving with Jason, and she would forever be indebted to the two mortals for their service to her, especially Lexa, who had stayed with her for a whole week while she reeled from her breakup with Hades and managed to keep Minthy the mint plant alive after Persephone had promptly forgotten her existence in the kitchen window. She'd had plans to return the nymph to the underworld and offer her to Hades, but she didn't have the courage to face him. She texted Lexa that she was heading out and started to pack her things. when a shadow fell over her. She looked up into a familiar pair of dark, gentle eyes.
Hecate!
Persephone stood and threw her arms around the goddess's neck.
I miss you.
Hecate returned her embrace and inhaled sharply with relief.
I miss you too, my dear.
She pulled away and studied Persephone's face, her brows knitted together over her caring eyes.
We all do.
Guilt slammed into her, and she swallowed. She'd essentially been avoiding everyone. Sit with me?
Of course.
The goddess of witchcraft took a seat beside Persephone. She couldn't stop staring at Hecate. The goddess looked different in human glamour, with her hair in a braid and wearing a long black maxi dress instead of regal robes.
I hope I'm not interrupting, Hecate added.
No, just working, Persephone said. The goddess nodded. They were quiet for a moment, and Persephone hated the awkwardness between them. How is everyone? She hedged.
Sad, Hecate said,
and Persephone felt a pang in her chest. You're really not one to beat around the bush, are you, Hecate?
Come back,
she said. She couldn't look at Hecate. Her eyes burned. You know I can't.
What does it matter that you found each other through this contract?
Hecate asked. Persephone's eyes widened, and she looked at the goddess of witchcraft. Did he tell you?
I asked.
Then you know he deceived me.
Did he? As I recall, he told you your contract had nothing to do with Aphrodite's wager.